This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Beginning in John chapter 7, verse 40. Now, Jesus, this is at the festival of booths, a huge festival in Jerusalem. Jesus went to, he was teaching. All sorts of people reacted in all sorts of ways. We're going to see more of that now. But we begin in verse 40. He has just said that everyone who believes in him, out of them will flow rivers of living water. When the crowds heard him say this, some of them declared, "Surely this man is the prophet we've been expecting." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others said, "But he can't be. Will the Messiah come from Galilee? For the scriptures clearly state that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born." So the crowd was divided about him. Some even wanted him arrested, but no one laid a hand on him. When the temple guards returned without having arrested Jesus, the leading priests and Pharisees demanded, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "We have never heard anyone speak like this," the guards responded. "Have you been led astray too?" the Pharisees mocked. "Is there a single one of us rulers or Pharisees who believes in him? This foolish crowd follows him, but they are ignorant of the law. God's curse is on them." Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. "Is it legal to convict a man before he is given a hearing?" he asked. They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures and see for yourself. No prophet ever comes from Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So much confusion. So much confusion. You know, this is one of the rare passages where we, in the Gospels at least, where we don't hear a word from Jesus. It's everybody talking about Jesus. But so much confusion here. And whence the source of that, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. But some people have it right. The ones that say, "This is the prophet we've been expecting." And as we've mentioned before, the prophet, capital P, they're talking about the one that the Lord, through Moses, told the people of Israel, "I'm going to send a prophet like Moses. Listen to him. And anyone who doesn't listen to him, they're going to have to deal with me personally. I'm going to deal with them personally." So these folks got it right. Jesus is that prophet, and he's also the Messiah. And the folks that say he's the Messiah, they've got it right too. And then you've got these folks saying, "But wait a minute. He can't be the Messiah. He can't be the prophet. Will the Messiah come from Galilee?" Now, there was one very simple way to solve the question they're asking, right? Ask Jesus. They say, "For the scripture clearly states that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born." So let's ask Jesus. "Jesus, where were you born?" Thank you, right? Thank you. All they had to do, the guy is hanging around teaching in the temple. He doesn't have the Secret Service around him, right? They just had to go up and say, "You know, where were you born, dude?" And he would have said, "Well, you know, I was raised in Galilee, but actually born in Bethlehem." Hello? But you see the confusion. The crowd is divided. Some of them even want to arrest him. Really? Arrest him for what? You know, that's the often the answer for people who are, you know, a crowd that's confused. Just arrest the guy. We'll figure out something later, right, to charge him with. There's all this confusion. And some of it is, some of it perhaps rooted in their own not being taught well, not knowing the scripture well enough, not being curious enough to pursue talking to Jesus himself. But let me tell you one thing that we need to think about in our context now. We already know Jesus was and is the Messiah, the prophet that was to come. We all know that. We all, most of us here, I think, believe that. And I think most of us here also believe that he died for our sins on the cross, and that he was raised from the dead on the third day, and is alive right now at the right hand of God. But Jesus said other things that apply to us, one of them being that he's coming back. Now, if you believe that he really died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that he's ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, and you don't believe that he's coming back, you need to struggle with that, because the same guy said all the same things, right? But he said he's coming back, and he also said, hey, he's coming like a thief in the night. No, it's going to be a surprise for a lot of people, and you need to stay alert, right? The thief doesn't call ahead and say, hi, I'll be there at 2 a.m. to break into your back door, right? He's saying, uh-uh. He's saying he's going to come. It's going to be a surprise. And so be alert. Be alert all the time. You know, one of the interesting things, too, he says is, you know, even I don't know, the Son. He says, even the Son doesn't know, only the Father, about when I'm returning. That's a fascinating thing in and of itself. But all that to say, how do we make sure we don't end up in the same confusion that these people did? How do we make sure that we're ready when Jesus returns, if he returns in our lifetime? And we don't know when he's going to return. You know, there have been lots of times down through history when people were convinced that the Antichrist had shown up and that Jesus was going to come back any day now. Lots of times in history. We need to have a humility about that. I just was reminded of this story I'll tell. It's a charming story I tell on myself. So, you know, I wasn't raised in the church at all. So I become a Christian January 17th, 1972, middle of my senior year in high school. And I immediately start reading the Bible. And the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, had recently come out by Hal Lindsey. And I had read that too, but mostly was reading the Bible. And I was talking to a friend of mine probably 4 months, so maybe about May or June, I don't know, after I'd become a Christian, my friend Bill, who wasn't a Christian, and I was saying, you know, Jesus is going to come back. And Bill's like, well, when do you think that's going to happen? And I said, I am sure it won't be any later than October. You know? Now, there's a good side and not a bad side, but a perspective side. You know, the good side is I was ready for Jesus to come back, and I was looking forward to it. The perspective side is this is why it's good to learn about our brothers and sisters who have gone before us for the last 2,000 years and their experience and what they have written and taught and just church history in general. But to make sure we're prepared, there's one thing that I hope most of you are doing, and it's a simple thing. It's just be reading some of the Bible every day. And I'm not talking about a lot. I mean, they're about now with, you know, with the internet, there are only about 35,000 different apps or reading plans or that just you know, it'll read the Bible to you. So while you're drinking your coffee and still coming to consciousness, you don't have to actually read. It'll read it to you. By the way, I think there's a lot of benefit to that because, you know, the scriptures, from many perspectives, was made to be read aloud so we can hear as well, and we can read it too, but hear it. But there are so many ways to have the Bible be part of your life every day. And it's really important to make sure you're ready because we don't know when he's coming back. We absolutely don't know. But he is. He said he was. So make sure that somehow or another, and if you need a suggestion, you know, I've done so many different type of reading plans or different things over the course of my life, at different periods of my life. And it changes sometimes because of where I am personally or, all you know, because when we had little kids, it was different, all sorts of things like that. So if you need some, you know, suggestions about what would work for you, let me know, you know, call me. And I should be able to make some suggestions. But we need that. We need it to make sure we stay alert, to make sure we're not confused, to make sure we're not taking our eye off the ball as we go through life. Because there's another perspective to this. You know, in one sense, Jesus may come back to me in the next half hour. Right? We all know this. So, you know, something bizarre. I could have an aneurysm and die preaching. I don't really want to do that. I think it would be traumatic, you know. But at any rate. But, you know, something could happen. And suddenly I'm with Jesus. And I'm with him before he's come back to the planet. We always want to be ready. Both, you know, internally and in the big picture. And not be like these people. With all this confusion that's going on. And again, the question of why is there so much confusion? We're going to get to that. Earlier in chapter 7, the religious leaders and Pharisees had decided, we're done with this guy Jesus. So they sent their own private police force. They had their own temple guards, their own little police force. And they send their own their temple guards out to arrest Jesus. And they did confront Jesus, and Jesus talked to him for a little while. Well, look what happens. When the temple guards returned without having arrested Jesus, this is verse 45, the leading priests and Pharisees demanded, "Why didn't you bring him in? You work for us. You are paid little police force here. If we say go arrest somebody, you're supposed to arrest them. Why didn't you bring him back? What's up? Why have you failed in your duty that we pay you for, guards?" And look what the guards say. These are men who know they could now be accused of dereliction of duty or something like that, could have serious consequences, at least losing their job. They say, "We have never heard anyone speak like this," the guards responded. "We have never heard anyone speak like this," the guards responded. Who are the guards talking to? Who are the guards talking to? They're talking to the people whom they hear speak all the time about the things of God, or they're supposed to be. That's who they're talking. They're talking to the people who are supposed to be teaching Israel explaining the scriptures, pointing them to God. And what do these guards say to these people who are supposed to be teaching the people of Israel about God? We have never heard anyone speak like this. And we could add in the subtext. This was a gutsy thing for these guys to say. We have never heard anyone, not even you religious leaders, speak like this. Boy, do you think that went over real well? You know, if you came to me later and say, "Gosh, I was down in I was on vacation. I went to this church, and I've never heard anyone preach like this guy down there." Now, I will tell you, thankfully, I don't have any illusions about. I'm a decent preacher, but I know a lot of much better preachers. Have no problem saying, "Yeah, she's better." Hannah Attaway over at Hope Church now. Actually, my daughter-in-law, Abby Gatliff, down in Birmingham, they're both better preachers than me. I will tell you that right now. But there are, I know this is going to shock you. I'm glad you're sitting down. There are some preachers, pastors, who a parishioner said, "Gosh, I went on vacation. This guy was so good." "Oh, really? What's wrong with my preaching?" Right? But these people, the stakes are higher. Because they're not only just the teacher, they're in the temple, right? They run the temple. There were synagogues, gatherings, where the reading of the scripture, but this was like the church for Israel. And these were the ones who ran it, and they were supposed to be like the best of the best of the best. Yes, sir, right? That's who they were supposed to be. And this no-name guy from Galilee, the guards who've listened to these Pharisees and the religious leaders preach and teach a lot, he says, "That guy, we've never heard anyone like him. We've never heard anyone like him." And you know that those words echo down today, right? That people will open the scripture. People will read the words of Jesus who have no idea who he is or just have never explored, but they start reading the words of Jesus and there is a huge, huge impact. And they go, "This guy is different. And he's different because he's the only one who was the Son of God, came down incarnate for us. He's God himself. That's why he's different." We have never heard anyone speak like this. Now, how are these guys going to respond? Well, you know, and we would hope, you know, we would hope they'd say, maybe we're missing something here. You would hope there would be some intellectual or spiritual humility. Maybe we're missing something here. Maybe we better slow down in this whole killing him thing, right? But no. Here's what they say to the guards. "Have you been led astray too?" the Pharisees mocked. "Have you been led astray too?" And then they look around, or one of or two of them look around at the rest of, they're all gathered there, these rulers and teachers of the law. Is there a single one of us rulers or Pharisees who believes in him? In other words, they're saying, there better not be any traitors in our midst here. There better not be any traitors in our midst. There better not be anyone who has anything other, it wants to do anything other than arrest and kill this guy. It's vicious, so vicious. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Look what they say next. This foolish crowd follows him, but they are ignorant of the law. Hold it! Who are the teachers of the law? Who are the teachers of the law? Them. And if the crowd is ignorant, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Right? You know, over here, if there's a class with 15 students, and day after day after day after day, all 15 students are failing, where's the problem? Might be the teacher, right? These guys are supposed to be the teachers of Israel. And if the crowd is ignorant, whose fault is it? They didn't become the teachers of Israel 2 days ago. They've been the teachers of Israel for some of them decades. And the crowd is ignorant of the law? They're indicting themselves, right? And it even gets worse, believe it or not. Because these people are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. Look at the call to worship from Micah. Down there, the last leader, it says, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God." It's talking about, it's a prophecy about Jesus. The reason the guards haven't ever heard anyone teach like this is because they have not been taught by true shepherds of the flock. They've taught by people who were not shepherds feeding the flock, but shepherds, quote unquote, feeding on the flock. And they haven't heard, they're listening to Jesus and they're hearing something they've never heard before because he's the genuine shepherd feeding the flock, caring for the flock, nurturing the flock, healing the flock, loving the flock, and eventually laying down his life for the flock. Not these people. Not these people. And then they say this: God's curse is on them, the flock. God's curse is on the these people. This is their flock that God has given them responsibility for, and they're saying God's curse is on them. And they claim to know the law. Don't they remember that when the people of Israel were really messing up in the wilderness, Moses said, "Don't blame them, put their sin on me. Blame me, wipe me out from your book, but save them." Are you kidding me? They know that, they've read that. But you know what? They're so wrapped up. They are so consumed by all the ways they have gone away from God while wearing the outward trappings of being representatives of the Lord. They've gotten wrapped up in the money, they're rich, the prestige, the power, the authority, the image. That's what they got wrapped up in. And as any of us who've lived long enough know, been around church, it happens all the time today. It happens all the time today throughout churches that call themselves Christians, right? But this is so tragic. This is so tragic. Ezekiel talks about the false shepherds of Israel, and he's describing them as well as others from the past. But there's one shining light here. Our old buddy Nicodemus, from way back in John 3. You know, we got on his case a little bit because he comes to see Jesus in the dark after nightfall, almost certainly so his colleagues wouldn't see him. and he reaches out to Jesus. Well, then, now, Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. And listen, this is a really complicated legal question he's asking. I don't know if we'll all be able to grasp it. Is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing? Hello! Everybody knows the answer to that question. Everybody. Back then, you didn't convict somebody before they had a hearing, before they could defend themselves. He's bringing up a basic point of their jurisprudence. And what are they? How do they respond to him? And by the way, he is well respected. He's a leader. But they aren't having any of it. Are you from Galilee too? You know what this means? Are you another ignorant country bumpkin? That's how they looked at Galilee. Way up north, all those hicks, right? Are you an ignorant country bumpkin too? And then they say this, search the scriptures and see for yourself. No prophet ever comes from Galilee. Well, they're wrong right there. Jonah came from Galilee. But also, another way of translating those words is the prophet, speaking of that prophet Moses, the Lord told Moses to tell the people was coming. The prophet doesn't come from Galilee. Scripture doesn't say that anywhere. Who are the ones who don't know the scripture, or at least certainly not applying it? This is why we want every day to let the water of the washing of the Word of God flow over us with its cleansing, with its refreshing, with its nurturing. That's what we want every day. It doesn't take long, morning, noon, or night. It doesn't matter. But we want it every day in our lives so we don't end up confused and we don't end up with what these leaders needed. You know, Jesus, when the guards came and said, we've never heard anyone speak like this guy, what Jesus had done was disrupted this unhealthy, fragile equilibrium. Now, this in the world that these religious leaders had created, he's tearing up the equilibrium. Now their guards don't even obey him. They can't see it, but it's a good thing for them. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.